Morning, I'm glad you've come. I hope that you brought your Bibles. I also hope that you're a note taker. I will tell you this lesson could be very, very, very long. Could be. Hopefully we're going to try and get out of here. But the opposite side of that is I'm probably going to not answer some things as fully as I could. So know that. This is a lesson that I have in private conversation with people from time to time. And I don't know that I've ever given it publicly just like this. So we're going to do it as a sermon, and hopefully it will come across and everybody will make some sense of it. But I've thought about how to do it, and how to do it occurred to me yesterday afternoon. I was in Walmart, and I bought a little bottle of what we all now treasure, hand sanitizer. I don't know how many men ever bought hand sanitizers before the year 2020. I'm going to say the number was very, very low. I now am the proud owner of a bottle of hand sanitizer. And it occurred to me that salvation is not like hand sanitizer. But I think sometimes we preach it like it's hand sanitizer. So this lesson is about how salvation is not like hand sanitizer. Here's what I mean. My internet quit at the house. I was going to have a little picture of hand sanitizer, and I was going to have a picture of the Monopoly card for a get-out-of-jail-free card, because I think we think of our salvation that way sometimes. Have you ever seen the video of the guy who's trying to figure out how to wash his hands and get a napkin, get a towel without getting his hands on anything? Right? We're all freaked out about the COVID, so he's like, he has to touch the handle for the washer, and then he has to touch the handle for the soap, and he has to touch the handle for this, and he's kind of just paralyzed there, standing around not knowing what to do last. Well, I think sometimes we're that way about salvation. Here's what I mean. I think we think, and I know that this is true because I know a lot of people feel this way. I know people feel strongly about this, and I know that I've talked to people, and this is not just my understanding of how it was taught, that I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm baptized, and that forgives all my sins prior to baptism. And from there on out, I have hand sanitizer. So that I go along through my life, and I know I sin. I get over here, and I say a bad word. Well, I get some hand sanitizer, and I consciously repent. I audibly confess. Go on down. Well, then I go along over here, and I stub my toe, and I say another bad word. Well, I got to get me some hand sanitizer. And I go over here, and I rub a little conscious repentance and audible confession on there. Going to heaven. That's not how it works. The idea that you know what you touch that has coronavirus on it, or you know the interaction in which you will get coronavirus, or whatever the case may be, is foolhardy. And the idea that I'll be able to apply hand sanitizer to get rid of it every time is foolhardy. How much more foolhardy is it to think I can equate myself with the holiness of God, and that I understand on any level how many ways I fall short of God's glory every second of my life? Brothers and sisters, we are self-righteous if we think that we can audibly confess and consciously repent of every sin in our life. If that's the standard, right, this is how it's taught. Well, before you're baptized, you're going straight to hell. Once you're baptized, all those sins from prior are forgiven. And now you've got this get-out-of-jail-free card, this hand sanitizer. Really, you've got God in a bind because you can go out Saturday night and do all you want. And as long as the Lord didn't come or you don't die, you can stumble into church Sunday morning, rub a little of that hand sanitizer of repentance and confession. Done. Now, you may think that's ridiculous, but have you ever heard this? The only way to have your sins forgiven is to repent and confess of them. Guarantee you have. Well, that's how we get into this idea that salvation is like hand sanitizer, and that Jesus' blood is some kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. And what I really have is I have God in a bind because he can't send me to hell as long as I keep repenting and confessing, because that's the covenant, right? It's a complete misunderstanding of God's holiness. It's a complete misunderstanding of how our Christian life is supposed to be lived, and a complete misunderstanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. A state change occurs when I am baptized and I become justified and forgiven from all unrighteousness. Now we get nervous right there, right? Because we think, oh, what about the kids? What about the newcomer? He's gonna want to sin now. Oh, preacher, you know, man, they're gonna be doing some sinning now. Well, that's a complete misunderstanding of the relationship. Because the one in rebellion is going to hell. The one who faithfully serves is forgiven. That's the difference. So let's get into it. And I'm going to put these on the board. And if you don't mind, don't try not to turn to them. I'm going to read them from the page. I'm going to read them relatively quickly. Just let these words wash over you. Let's think about God, and let's think about the nature of God as I read these words to you. And just think about who He is and who we are. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to the another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Every moment I fail to live up to God. Every moment. Evil does not dwell with God. God is in heaven. And every evil thing flees from His presence. I am an evil thing. You are an evil thing. Because it doesn't matter how I compare to Jack or to Rick or to Ronnie or to Melanie or Jennifer. I'm not going to their house. I'm going to God's house. And before God, I am lowly and despicable. Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 5 to you. You may notice on the board, I read through verse 4. Verse 5 is Isaiah's reaction to seeing God. And he doesn't see God. He's allowed to see a vision of God. Woe to me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. There's a great song. It's not necessarily because of the song, but it's a great idea. About what will I do when I get to heaven? That's not how it's phrased. I can't remember the name of the song. But it talks about the idea of when we get to heaven, what will we do? We will fall down. Isaiah is horrified by the presence of God. Why? Because he realizes how holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, and how lowly, lowly, lowly is any man. The problem with our understanding of salvation it's not the idea that we don't misunderstand Jesus' blood or we misunderstand baptism, but don't misunderstand anything I'm saying in this lesson, by the way. Baptism is essential to salvation. You cannot live a life of service to Jesus Christ without obeying His words and being born again of water and spirit. Don't misunderstand anything I'm going to say. But the idea that my law keeping will get me into heaven The idea that I can audibly confess and consciously repent of all the things that are less than God in my life is stunning and should cause me to be horrified. It is self-righteousness to think. It is the ultimate in arrogance to think that I can stand before God and say, yep, repented of every sin, confessed every one of them. Lord, you got to let me in. Yet that's how we teach it. It's not what Scripture teaches. Faith is the standard. Faith is the standard. Now, James will tell us real quick in James chapter 2, right? What would he say? You're talking to me about your faith. How are you living with that? You like Abraham? Abraham sacrificed his child. How's your faith? There's no faith without works. Don't misunderstand the difference here. But my works are meaningless to God. What God wants me to do is appreciate the sacrifice of His Son and to believe in Him and to trust Him and to follow Him. See how beggarly this idea of being washed of my sins by baptism and then all of a sudden I'm in this situation where I can be right before God if I consciously repent, audibly confess of every sin. When you look at it in reality, it becomes ridiculous. We need more grace and more mercy. We sang that song, His Grace Reaches Me. We need more of that than we can ever imagine. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. And I said, woe is to me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we ponder the holiness of God, it should scare us to death. Do turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, and you might want to put a mark here. We're going to begin our lesson with this and then come back to it. Tell me if you've heard it preached this way, 1 John chapter 1. Christians, Paul says, that shall we continue in sin, the grace may abound, God forbid. The only sin that can be forgiven is the one that's confessed. The only way you can have forgiveness of sins is repentance and confession. You heard that sermon before? I have. And then you'll hear 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 read and then expressed like this. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See right there? Without confession, there is no forgiveness. I must confess each and every sin I have in my life. Otherwise, I go to heaven, and we've got this vision from these Jack Chick tracks, you know, these little salvation tracks, where they play the big movie screen of your life. Have you seen those? And God picks us apart, and he looks at everything that we've done that we haven't repented of and confessed, or God forbid we die before we repent and confess of some sin, and we go straight to hell. People use that verse and teach it that way. We're going to close the lesson by coming back to that, so just be aware of it. That's not what that verse is saying. It is impossible to law keep my way into heaven. It is impossible to keep the law. Only one man has ever done it. That was Jesus Christ. No man has kept the law. No man has lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ has. So what's the difference between perfectly keeping the law and perfectly keeping a law that says I can consciously repent and audibly confess of every sin in my life? What's the difference? Let's take it back to the hand sanitizer thing. Wouldn't I just not touch it? What's the difference if I go into my kitchen and I know the toaster and the refrigerator have coronavirus on it? I can come into the kitchen. I can either I can go over there and I can touch the toaster, but I got some hand sanitizer over here and I fix that. What's the difference between just not touching the toaster and applying hand sanitizer every time I touch the toaster? That. I can do neither perfectly. If I could, and we'll study this in just a minute, if I could do that, why did Jesus die? Romans chapter 3, verse 20. If you don't turn to every verse, at least write them down, because I think the thing I'm wanting to do with this lesson is to present some ideas that are not only true and biblical and scriptural, but also give you some things to think about and some verses to go back and examine on your own and let you come up with your own conclusions. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. It is not possible for me to keep the law of Moses, nor is it possible for me to keep a law of repentance and confession. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Now, let me tell you something. I must admit, the lesson that I'm preaching to you today, I would not have preached to you when I was 25. No way. And I wouldn't have handled that verse very well. Because as soon as I read it, I would have said, oh, but you got to have works. It's because I misunderstood the relationship. Yes, you have to have works. But those works are meaningless. What do they give to God? Do they elevate me to where I'm as holy as God? How many works can I do to make God open the doors of heaven for me? How many works of goodness can I do where God says, well, I guess I can't keep him out? We're saved by faith. What God wants us to do is believe in the one whom he sent. I'm hoping this lesson will open up a lot of scriptures for you. We'll talk about that later. Cutting this sermon down was hard, as you can tell from me preaching. By works of the law, no man will be justified. What justifies is faith. How is that, preacher? How does faith justify? What doesn't that tear down baptism? Doesn't that tear down faithfulness? Doesn't that tear down worship? Doesn't it tear down all those things? No! I want you to ponder something. Why did Paul write Romans 6, verse 1? I mean this sincerely. I want you to go away from this. I want you to think about this. Why did Paul write Romans 6, verse 1? You know it. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The reason he wrote it is he had just proven without a doubt that when I become a Christian, I am justified by the blood of Jesus Christ completely. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers my sins. The grace of God forgives my sins. I go from unjustified to justified. I'm still guilty. I'm still unrighteous, but I am forgiven completely. I stand in a different state. Now, human beings being human beings, what did Paul have to do? Now, hold it, sinners. Don't get carried away. Do not continue in sin just because you're saved by grace through faith. That's why I wrote it. I was in Galatians chapter 2, and I want to read one more verse from there before I get back to Ephesians chapter 2. You're familiar with Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians and Romans are very similar books, if you're not aware of that, they are. You'll notice that I read Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and Galatians 2, 15 and 16, they have the same wording. Well, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 has wording that's similar to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read this verse, and then we'll move on. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If salvation were like hand sanitizer, and I could hand sanitize away every virus that ever touched my hands, who needs a vaccine? Who needs a cure? Who needs a hospital? If I could keep the law, there's no need for Jesus. But I can't keep the law because I'm not as holy as God. And I need more grace than I can ever imagine. That carries us to Ephesians chapter 2, a verse with which we're very familiar. Now just let me say briefly before you get too carried away and think of what I'm teaching here. I am not saying that Ephesians chapter 2 is about faith alone. It is a faith that works from one end to the other. There is no such thing. That's what James is saying in James chapter 2.
There is no such thing as a faith that does not work. I am not saying you don't need baptism. Of course you need baptism. You can't die to sin without baptism. You can't have the state change that occurs. You don't have true faith until you've submitted.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
I am saved by the grace of God from beginning to end. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. So how should I live? In faith. Grateful for what has been done for me. Horrified by what I truly am before God.
When we realize how evil we truly are before God, it should make us run to God. It should make us pray all the time, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please, please let me come to heaven. But this is really where I've been going in this lesson. I think this is important because I think we misunderstand the relationship. It's not the relationship between two friends, but the difference in what goes on before God. Here's what we need to understand about the grace of God. God has declared us guilty. You need to know that. We are guilty. I'm guilty now. But he has declared me justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The price for my damnation has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And I thank Mitch for reading this for us earlier.
When I am baptized, I go from outside the body of Christ to inside the body of Christ. I go from unforgiven to forgiven. I go from unrighteous to declared righteous. I don't become righteous, I'm declared righteous. I go from unjustified and unable to stand before a holy God to justified and righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God.
So when I try to get down here and look at these little individual sins, and I'm just touching the hem of the garment. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, and your soul. How you doing with that? Love your neighbor as yourself. How you doing with that? Do you realize how many ways I fall short of that every living second of the day? Now I'm going to come along here and think, well, I'm going to remember two things I did that were sin today, and I'm going to tell God I'm never going to do that again, and I'm going to confess those sins when I say my prayers at night, and whoo, going to heaven again. What we're doing is it's a pop-up salvation. I'm saved, I'm unsaved. I'm saved because I've consciously repented, audibly confessed, all of a sudden I'm unsaved because of sin. If that were the case, we're unsaved all the time. And it's not what the Bible says. It is not what the Bible says.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that include baptism? Yes, it does. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Salvation is not like hand sanitizer. Salvation is like a room. When I come into it, I'm forgiven. When I walk out of it, I'm on my own. But when I stand in faith, I walk in the light as he is in the light. I told you we were going to get back to 1 John.
when I am submitting to Jesus Christ, when I am loving the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul, I am horrified by the holiness of God, and I realize my weakness before Him, and I realize how sinful I am, and I beg Him for my forgiveness, and I thank Him for the grace that's extended to me, and I live like that, I'm in the room, baby. I'm still unrighteous. Still not living up to the standard. But His grace reaches me. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. I'm going to read this, and the part that I want to get to, I almost guarantee you you'll miss. I missed it for years. Because I was so freaked out about thinking Paul was a Baptist. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Here's my problem when I would read that. I was so freaked out by salvation by faith and the idea that Paul seems to be poo-poo and works here, that I couldn't understand the rest of the passage. Believes in the one who justifies the ungodly. You know who that is? It's me. It's not me before I was baptized. It's me now. God knows who we are. God knows what you think. God knows what you do. God knows how far. You may not know how far you fall. How far you fall below God's holiness, but God does. And He forgives you anyway. Why? Because you reacted to His gift the way you should have reacted to the gift. God gave you His Son. God raised Him from the dead and gave Him a kingdom. What are you going to do with that? Faith doesn't mean, oh, I believe Jesus was real. Faith means trusting and giving completely your life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loved you that much? Because I'm forgiven that much? Because I am unrighteous and God justifies me anyway. Praise His name. Lord, please forgive me. That's why David burst into song. Blessed is the one who's forgiven. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not count his sin. It's not about some... Think about how weak and powerlessness it is to think that somehow God must forgive me because I can know every sin in my life and I can say, Lord, I will never do that again. And then I can say, Lord, I will never do that again. Please forgive me. And that's how I'm getting to heaven. It's wrong. It's not biblical. It has no power. You know why? Because deep in our hearts, we know, don't we? Maybe you don't know, but I know. Not you, I don't mean you. Oh, don't misunderstand. I promise you we get to baptism, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 talks about our baptism. Why our baptism? Because our baptism is the point at which I go from outside the room to inside the room. I go from outside the grace of God to inside the room. Grace of God. I go from alive to sin to dead to sin. And what Paul is saying is once that's occurred, and once you understand the magnitude of that, how can you ever go back to sin again? How can you go back like a pig and wallow in the mire? Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you're alive to sin and you're going to hell. Once you become a Christian, you're dead to sin and you're alive to eternal life. Why? Because you believe that God sent his Son and you put your faith in him. God gave Jesus a kingdom. Are you serving? If you have no faith, you will not serve. But if you have true faith and you understand the grace that God has sent down to you, you will serve. Behind the page on my clicking, I apologize. So you might say, well, preacher man, how then can I know if I'm going to heaven? All right, first of all, I think we kind of like the idea that I say my prayers at night and I confess my sins and that puts me in a safe state and I'm going to heaven. And please continue to say your prayers at night. That's not what I'm saying. We should be a life of continual prayer for that same thing. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Are you walking by faith? This is where, I told you I cut a lot of things out of this lesson. This is where James chapter 2 fits in. How do I know if I'm walking in faith? I'm working. I can see it. Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. I can see whether you've given yourself to the control of the Spirit or not, by who you are, by how you act, by what you do. But it's walking by faith. Do I believe? Do I live like I believe? Do I live like I'm grateful? I promise that we finish our lesson in 1 John chapter 1. Let's turn over there briefly. I'm going to read. We read verse 9 a minute ago. I'm going to back up and begin in verse 6. And what I want you to notice here is, what is John contrasting? This is very important. To understand verse 9, which we talked about earlier, to understand what verse 9 does say, you have to understand what verse 8 and verse 10 say. What is the contrast that John is drawing in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10? If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from some sin, the sins from which I repent and confess. Nope. All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's start with verse 10. What's he saying? I am pitiful and miserable before God every waking moment of my life, and to say otherwise is sinful. Now, did you notice the contrast? There are two contrasts there. One is walking in darkness, and the other is walking in the light. The other is confessing my sin, and what is the contrast? It's not confessing my sin. It's not individual confession of each and every sin. It's the difference between saying, I am a sinner, versus I have no sin. It is the difference between saying, Lord, please save me, I need your grace, and Lord, I got you in a bind because I used my hand sanitizer on my sin and you got to let me into heaven. Let me read it to you. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, preacher man, we're not supposed to be sinners. That's correct. We're not supposed to be given to sin. There's no doubt about it. But we're unrighteous. Don't make no mistake about it. We're unrighteous right now. Are you saying you don't want me to repent of sin in my life? Of course not. Are you saying you don't want me to confess sins? Of course not. What John is saying is we need to be a walking, talking confession of our sinfulness all the time. If I am in that state, not individual confession, but confession of my sinfulness before God, in that state and that state alone am I forgiven, because the difference is between arrogance and humility.
I have more to say, but I see the clock continues to tick. Turn to Luke 18. I'll just briefly read it, and the lesson will be yours. Why Luke 18? Because this is who we are. You know the story. The tax collector stands up and says, notice the phrase here. Jesus told this parable, this is verse 9 of Luke 18, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's the danger of hand sanitizer salvation. The danger of hand sanitizer salvation is, Lord, I kept the law. I trust in my ability to keep the law. I trust in my ability to apply hand sanitizer of the blood of Jesus Christ every time I sin. That's the guy who's condemned in this. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like other men. I do all the right things. Jesus said, that fella, going straight to hell. He does not confess his sins. He does not confess his sinfulness. He's not walking in the light. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Who's justified in this case? The tax collector. Lord, please be merciful unto me. I was a sinner before I'm baptized, and now I stand righteous. No. That flies in the face of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Lord, please be merciful unto me. I am sinful before you. I am a man of unwashed lips, of unwashed hands. What did Jesus say about that man? I tell you, this one went down to his house justified. It wasn't the sinner's work that did anything. It wasn't the Pharisee's work that did anything. It was the humility of realizing that before God, I'm a sinner and I need mercy. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I have talked a long time. I love you. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to understand that when you are baptized, the state change occurs and you go from unforgiven to forgiven. It doesn't matter how. You may know in your heart that you're evil. God knows it, and he has given you the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. But you've got to walk humbly before him. You've got to walk in faith. You've got to stay in the room. You've got to stay where the grace is. But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you praise God every moment of the day? Why wouldn't you confess your sins before him every moment of the day? You elevate God when you realize your sinfulness. You lower God when you say, I am righteous. I'm not righteous. Praise God for his grace. If you've never become a Christian, we want you to come into that faith with Jesus Christ. We want you to have the obedience of faith in your life. If you are a Christian and you're in need of prayers, if you haven't read the bulletin, read the bulletin. I didn't write it. Deep open the hood. It's devastating. It's emotional. Bad things happen in our lives and they can tear us up. Do you need prayer and support from your fellow Christians? Do you struggle with sin in your life and you need to humble yourself to God in a way that you haven't been able to do so? If we can help you in any way, please go.